Psychedelic Radio.
This is Relic Radio Sci-Fi, old-time radio, science fiction stories from RelicRadio.com.
American beer Carling Black Label presents another story in the dramatic series, The Challenge of Faith.
Good evening. This is Charles B. Ryan, Director of Space Research here at the New Mexico Center. In our conquest of space with its scientific and engineering triumphs, we must never forget the purpose of our activities, that exploration of the near planets is being undertaken in peace for all mankind. That there may be a danger of overlooking this in the purely scientific search for knowledge, we underline in our story tonight, a clapper for the bell. Unexpected discoveries to date in our exploration of the moon were the reverberations that ensued when the lunar module of Apollo 12 was deliberately crashed on the lunar surface. The echoes picked up by the seismometers that had been set up during the mission continued for nearly half an hour, an effect totally unlike anything experienced on Earth. It caused great controversy at subsequent discussions by scientists.
Gentlemen, the first part of this meeting has covered very fully the facts that we have on hand concerning the moon echoes and the theories of members of this scientific body to explain this phenomenon. We now come to discussion on ways and means to further investigate this effect, and I call on Simon Avery, who has worked out a method to do this. Simon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen? We've all agreed that the suggestion to crash the lunar module on the moon to create a measurable man-made impact on the surface was taken in the best scientific tradition, and that its results have been outstanding. And to further our understanding of the structure of the moon, this is obviously a line of investigation that must be followed up. We now have two seismometers set up to relay information on moon tremors, one at Tranquility Base, the other, the Ocean of Storms, 1,200 kilometers, say 750 miles apart, on the visible side of our satellite. What we need now is a measurable impact from the far side of the moon. And I say that the best way of achieving this would be by means of an atomic explosion.
That is a totally idiotic idea.
Order! Mr. Avery has the floor.
Chair? I submit that Mr. Avery's suggestion is monstrous and irresponsible.
The meeting will come to order. Mr. Wentworth, if you have something to say, you can have the floor later.
I have plenty to say.
Later. Please proceed, Simon.
Thank you, Chairman. I repeat that an atomic explosion of a known force in a precise location on the side of the moon away from the Earth would give a series of seismic readings that would give a clear indication of the materials in the moon's substrata and an indication of its total composition.
It will also show the scientific body of the United States to be totally lacking in the fundamental stability necessary for the exploration of space.
Order!
order. Mr. Wentworth, you are out of order. If I have to remonstrate with you once more, I shall have to ask you to leave the meeting.
Chair, I submit that we've now heard Simon Avery's proposition. And I would like to make this a dialogue between Simon and myself.
James, you can have the floor when Simon is finished.
Mr. Chairman, respectfully, I shall be quite happy to make this a question and answer session between Jimmy Wentworth and myself.
Very well, James. Come up here on the rostrum. But be careful how you phrase your remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I state briefly my objections to Simon's scheme?
Go ahead.
Very well, James, but make it brief. This is a discussion, not a monologue.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that to our knowledge, an atomic weapon has never yet been launched into Earth orbit or into space. That this aspect is governed by international agreement, and necessarily so. That an atomic weapon has never, in consequence, been detonated under the airless conditions of space. That such an explosion would possibly endanger human or extraterrestrial life. That the ground surface would be contaminated for future moon landings. Mr. Chairman, I think that's it.
Good. Well, carry on, Simon.
Sure. Now, James, the international agreement governing the use of atomic weapons in space would be their military use.
Primarily, yes.
What I'm proposing is a peaceful scientific project.
Yeah, you'd have a job convincing the Reds of that.
Perhaps. But surely we can act on our own responsibility?
I say it would be irresponsibility. Long before we got to the moon itself with a manned craft, there were suggestions that we explode an atomic bomb on the moon so that we could see the flash. Well, what could be more irresponsible than that?
I'm proposing this with a serious scientific purpose.
I oppose the earlier suggestion. I oppose this.
Evidently. Well, now, to take your next point. Do you suppose that an atomic weapon would work in a vacuum?
It is yet to be proved. We would certainly know nothing of the blast, radiation, and thrust effects.
I think it would work. And an explosion would give us the rest of the data you're short of. Detonating a bomb on the far side of the moon would make sure that no human life would be endangered. We have yet to prove that there is any extraterrestrial life. We haven't met any moon men yet.
And what about contamination of the moon's surface affecting future astronauts?
I fancy it's going to take a long time, at least several decades, before we'll be ready to explore the far side of the moon. Following the atomic explosion of Bikini Atoll, in less than two decades, life is returning to the atoll. Satisfied?
Very far from satisfied. Part of man's genius has been directed towards weapons of mass destruction. And although an atomic bomb now classes as the smallest of these, it's still capable of immense damage. Now, so far, no weapons at all have been carried into space. Yet you propose using one of the most dangerous...
For a purely scientific purpose. In effect, the moon gave out reverberations like a bell. What I want to do is to provide an adequate clapper for that bell.
Then just make sure that in this crazy scheme, you don't sound the knell of space exploration and the whole human race.
Wentworth is always a
Well, General Millerhouse, you've had a chance to read the minutes of the meeting of the Advisory Committee on Space Developments. What are your comments?
Mr. President, Wentworth was quite right. This proposal is irresponsible. It's downright dangerous, too.
Avery has prepared his case very well. And he knows that there is no military aspect to his proposal.
How much trust and understanding does he think there is in international politics?
He's a dedicated scientist, General, with a single aim in view. And a majority of the committee are behind him on that basis.
But have they considered the effect on world opinion, on Russian opinion?
No, they don't have to. I do, and you do.
So, it's over to us. Well, I say no.
I asked you to come in here today because if this thing goes through, it would be up to you to prepare the nuclear device, the atomic bomb.
Yes, Mr. President.
And I wanted to get your opinion on the proposal.
Now, you have that, sir.
Yes, yes, thank you. But we're not going to be able to stop this thing from going through.
What?
I know how you feel, I know. But as a soldier and one who's never taken an active part in politics, you wouldn't perhaps realize the intolerable pressures that can build up against a man in the office of president over something like this.
I see, sir.
I don't think you do, quite. In the first place, I haven't got a majority of my own in the Senate.
That's I know, Mr. President, but surely a debate and a free vote...
The result would be the same, with a strong lobby in favor of trying this experiment. Think of the prestige if the USA could be the first to see definitely what exactly is the structure of the moon.
And our being the first to send an atomic weapon into space.
Exactly. Now, if I try to throw this project out, and I don't succeed, I prejudice my entire program for the nation. Politically, it isn't worth it.
I see, sir. Then it will have to go through.
Reluctantly, I shall have to authorize sending a nuclear device to the moon. Now, there's one thing more. I've put a call through on the hotline to the Russian premier, and I'd like you to stay for that conversation.
Why, certainly, sir.
There's an additional earpiece fitted to the phone. You can listen in.
But I can't speak Russian.
No more than I can, but the premier has an excellent command of English. Spot on time. Hello?
Mr. President, we have the Kremlin on the line. The Soviet Prime Minister. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Prime Minister.
Good day, Mr. President. There must be something of extreme urgency afoot to justify this call.
Well, it's a good thing to maintain personal contact between us. But as a matter of fact, Mr. Prime Minister, something has come up that I would wish to avoid any misunderstanding about.
It is the proposal to explode an atomic bomb on the moon.
Well, yes, I'd expected you to keep yourselves fully informed on that one, so it'll save me a great deal of explaining.
I'm afraid that it will take a great deal of explaining to justify breaking the international agreement on atomic weapons in space.
But that agreement covered military weapons only, Mr. Prime Minister. We have a purely peaceable intention in what we propose to do.
Mr. President, can you really envisage a peaceable atomic bomb?
Yes, I can, in the use to which this one is to be put. It is purely in the interest of examining the moon's structure.
Both our nations have been able to do this. At least the surface structure. You yourselves have now many samples.
That is true, but they don't tell us everything that we want to know, Mr. Prime Minister. We wish to investigate these strange reverberations.
So you tell us. It could just as easily be that you want to see the effect of an atomic explosion in space.
No, 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 I assure you. It is purely for the purpose you know about.
But surely you can't expect the Soviet Union to just agree to what you propose. For one thing, it would mean that a nuclear weapon would be carried across the territory of our countries and many other countries. On behalf of all the people that this represents, we cannot agree.
In that case, I'm afraid that this is going to create a very difficult position for me.
I would not expect your sympathy in any situation that developed in the Soviet where I personally was concerned. Can we please discuss purely your intentions, your illegal intentions, and their relation to international law?
We are not discussing international law, but an agreement between nations. That is rather a different thing, eh?
Do I take it that you feel free to go on with this act of setting aside a solemn agreement that your country has signed?
I still hope that I can obtain your agreement to what we propose to do for science, so that you can participate in the results.
The matter is not so vital to us that we cannot wait until our own explorations give us the answer to the structure of the moon. I cannot agree to your overflying of our territory and that of friendly nations with an atomic weapon. No.
Then, Mr. Prime Minister, it is probable that because of the situation here, we will have to go ahead with the project without your agreement.
Then it is my duty to advise you, Mr. President, that we shall view it as an act of deliberate aggression against the countries of the Eastern Bloc. And if there is any unforeseen incident, then it will be construed as an act of war.
Gentlemen,
Gentlemen, as president of this country, the final decision on whether to go ahead with this moon-sounding experiment rests with me. And that's why I've asked you two principal members of the scientific committee and General Millerhouse, representing the military side, to come for a final discussion before taking that decision.
Mr. President, as a member of the Scientific Advisory Committee, I understood from my contacts in the Senate that the decision had already been taken.
Mr. Avery, the final decision is mine.
Yes, sir.
And it is still my opinion, strongly expressed in committee, that this test should never take place. Not for the use of a nuclear device, at least.
But I would remind Mr. President that the majority of the committee did not agree with Mr. Wentworth's view.
Here, it would only be fair to say that my advice to the President from a military viewpoint is that the test is both undesirable and dangerous.
You see, Mr. Avery, that the decision, or the opinions, rather, of both your colleagues and mine are by no means favorable.
I have plenty of support for my scheme, sir.
I am aware of that, Mr. Avery. And I appreciate that the conducting of this experiment would have a scientific value. But the situation is fraught with difficulties and dangers that I would like you and your colleagues to withdraw your demand for it to take place.
I am sorry, Mr. President, sir. I am not in a position to do that.
Very well. Then the experiment will go ahead.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Wentworth. I have made my decision. General Millerhouse will deliver a nuclear device to Cape Kennedy, as I have already instructed, and will give you every technical assistance that you require. And I trust, Mr. Avery, that nothing does go wrong.
This is Alex McEwen speaking to you from the control room at Cape Kennedy in a worldwide broadcast of the Voice of America. There is an unusual element of drama here today in the launch of the second Saturn V rocket in 5 days. Because instead of the usual crew of astronauts, this rocket is spearheaded with a nuclear device. Military authorities, checked out by civilian scientists, were responsible for mounting the bomb before the rocket left on its mile-long journey to the launching pad, where it now stands. I have here Simon Avery, a leading scientific member in this project, to comment on this historic event. Simon, will you give us your views on this launching?
Well, Alex, this experiment truly is an historic milestone in the research program for the moon. But we mustn't let today's launching get out of perspective. An important part of the experiment, and the only thing that will have made it possible, was the firing of the first Saturn V rocket, which has now placed a control satellite in orbit around the moon.
Without that satellite, it would be impossible to direct the vehicle carrying the bomb accurately to its ground target. Is that right?
Yes, that is so, Alex. Working as we shall be on the far side of the moon, we shall depend on relayed signals to locate the energy source in its ground position accurately. I don't think we should use the military term bomb or target in this context.
Nevertheless, Simon, we understand that this is simply an atomic bomb. This is the first time ever that such a device will have been flown by a space vehicle.
Yes, that is so.
And surely there must have been some reaction from the Soviet bloc.
Well, they don't like it very much.
So there is an international undercurrent running beneath the tension of the launch here today.
We hope that when we release full details of our findings to other nations, they will see the value of it. But I would stress that this is purely a routine launch, and we do not consider there to be any danger at all in carrying it out.
We have liftoff. Yes, we have liftoff. This is the most crucial moment in the history of launchings at Cape Kennedy, when a rocket carrying an atomic head instead of a live crew leaves the pad. Any deviation from its normal flight path at this stage could lead to a fantastic calamity. But the rocket is climbing away and is just clearing the tower and tilting to its climbing angle. It would seem we have a perfect launch. And the ground crew here have never wanted a perfect launch so much. Now, as the Saturn V, with its dangerous load, dwindles against the blue sky of this lovely day, I bring to the microphone James Wentworth, one of the scientific team concerned with this venture. Jimmy, a quick comment from you.
Alex, I share your relief at the clean, safe launch that we've just seen here. And I hope that the rest of the mission goes through without any hitches.
It's common cause, Jimmy, that if it had been left to you and a few others on your committee, this experiment would never have got underway.
Yes, it's quite right, Alex, but the final decision was taken by the President on advice from Avery and the rest of the committee, and the country must abide by that.
And this is the spirit that has put a fine edge on America's space efforts. Thank you, Jimmy Wentworth. We have ignition of the second stage of Saturn V climbing towards its flight path over the Atlantic towards Earth orbit.
I'm glad you came along, General. Did you have any difficulties at Kennedy the other day?
No, none, Mr. President. We had a great deal of help from the project scientists and technicians there, and the whole installation went without a hitch.
Uh-huh. Well, I wish I could say the same for the international situation. Three countries dismissed our diplomatic representatives, and another five sent home Peace Corps workers.
And the Soviets, sir? Naturally, they now reserve the right to launch their own nuclear weapons into space.
Yeah, that is about our biggest loss. Can't do anything about that.
And on the home front, Mr. President?
Oh, well, General, that's good news. I've been forced into this experiment, but I'll be able to hold my own with more vital issues. So that's everything at the moment.
Good. Well, a capsule with the device aboard goes into lunar orbit tonight, ready for guiding into position.
A critical time for both of us. Join me here tonight, then, and we'll see this thing through to the finish.
It is most important that the capsule is guided into these exact lunar coordinates if the experiment is to succeed, Alex.
I see, Simon. With a blast of this magnitude, I think the layman could be forgiven for thinking that perhaps a few kilometers here or there wouldn't be of vital importance.
Not so, Alex. This is a scientific experiment that has to be as closely controlled as anything that's carried out in a laboratory. Accurate positioning is vital to accurate measurement of the passage of shockwaves through the interior of the moon. It's on this that the whole experiment depends.
Thank you, Simon Avery. In these last few tense moments before the first ever atomic explosion in outer space, every man connected with the control of the venture is at his control desk. But we just have time to ask Jimmy Wentworth what effects he anticipates from the megaton explosion on the moon's surface.
I must say, Alex, that I feel very uneasy, and my uneasiness increases with each moment that ticks away before the blast.
Since this feeling evidently isn't shared by your colleagues, can you put it into specific terms, Jimmy?
Yes. Escape velocity from the moon is very much lower than from the Earth, Alex, and approximate calculations have shown that there is some danger of fallout from the explosion actually being put into orbit around the moon.
15 seconds to go before detonation.
There is an unbearable degree of tension here in the control room as the seconds tick away to the instant of blast to take place over the deserted plain on the far side of the moon. All eyes are glued to the red light that will flash on as the mighty weapon ignites.
10 seconds. Positioning accurate to within half a kilometer.
Ground zero, the target area. After a flight of more than a quarter of a million miles is only a few hundred meters.
5 seconds.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Hello? There's no red light showing. Avery, what about the red light?
Wait for it. Wait for it.
It hasn't gone off. It hasn't gone off. The bomb has not gone off.
After flying a copybook mission, the device failed to ignite when within only a few hundred meters of its ground location.
You did a good job, General.
To your instructions, Mr. President.
I suppose I was worried right up to the last moment that it would go off after all.
Oh, no chance of that, sir. Not the way we rigged it.
It was a genuine atomic bomb, I suppose.
Oh, well, nothing else would have satisfied the scientists, sir. You couldn't fool them that way. But obviously, they had no knowledge of how the bomb was detonated. Only the military knew that. And we made sure it couldn't explode.
Well, it saved the day politically. So, Thanks again.
And still, nobody can say for certain whether an atomic bomb would go off in outer space. We can always use that as an excuse. But I suppose pressure will build up for the same thing to be done in future years, sir.
That will be in a few years, General. Let's worry about that when the time comes, shall we?
Yes, to keep interplanetary space free from weapons and from international rivalry will be the only way to ensure man's survival on this planet and on those we're setting out to explore. And now, until next week, this is Charles B. Ryan wishing you all good night.
That's the show for this week, but don't forget there are thousands more like it at RelicRadio.com. Horror, strange tales, science fiction, crime, all available for free. If you'd like to donate to Relic Radio and help keep it all free, you can do that through the website as well. Visit donate.relicradio.com to find out more and to see the special downloadable sets that are available. My thanks to those who have donated, and thanks for listening today. Talk to you again next week.